Today, we'll be looking at this message, Road to Revival. And it's the conclusion or the third part of a three-part series of messages. The first thing I want to do, like last week, is to remind you that you need to get your Bibles because we want you to be turning the pages at home. I can't see you, but I'm going to believe when I hear the pages through the audiovisual. So get your Bibles out and get to the book of Jonah and keep it on chapter 3. And we'll take this word in part 1 of the series, Road to Prison. We saw Jonah running from God. God had sent him to Nineveh, a metropolis. It's like sending him to New York City. And Jonah decided, no, he's going to go to Alaska. He's going to go to Juneau or some other place. But he went in the opposite direction to where God was sending him. And God recognized that Jonah, in his small thinking, I just wanted to be free from God. He didn't realize that trying to be free from God was taking him to the road to prison. And in that first message, we learned that disobedience will bring disappointments, and that will bring disasters. So we don't want to be like Jonah, where we are disobeying God. That word disobedience, we'll see the opposite of that in this message today. In the road to rehab, which is the second part of the message, we saw that instead of following through on what God said and going to Nineveh, Jonah was having a whale of a time at the bottom of the ocean, of the sea. There he was in the belly of the big fish, and he was now not only in prison, but he was in rehab. When we are incarcerated, in the literal sense, we're given an opportunity to either continue the status quo or change. If we don't change, we experience recidivism. That is, we found out last week that in an average of 9 years post-release prison, people reoffend or they relapse. We don't want, while we're in prison, to forego the opportunity to rehab. And in a word, rehab simply means I'm going to take the opportunity to change so I don't go back to doing what I've done before. And while in part one we saw disobedience, disappointments, and disaster, in part two we saw this man, Jonah, acknowledging who God is. We saw Jonah make an agreement with God. He said, look, I made a vow and I'm going to keep it. And we asked last week what agreement you made with God that you're going to keep. And then we saw God accepting Jonah again. This week, we're looking at Road to Revival. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to glean from your word. We sometimes fail to acknowledge the lessons you're trying to teach. We thank you for your patience. Remind us that even God sometimes runs out of patience. May we take the opportunity to listen and to do right by you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're looking at the road to revival, and we'll be considering four things, F-O-U-R, as opposed to three or three. Just four things about the road to revival. And the first thing we want to consider is that the road to revival involved a man. Take your Bibles out, and we're going to read Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. And we're reading from the New International Version. You may be reading the King James, that's all right. Any translation would do. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." Hold it right there. The word of God came to Jonah a second time. That tells me that the God we serve is very persistent with us. So when we decide that we are going to walk away from him, we're going to go in an opposite direction to which he sent us, it says that God is going to persist with us. The word of God came to Jonah a second time. That literally means that God was giving him a second opportunity. Question: had it not been for God's willingness to give us second opportunities, how many would be praising God today? Would we be like some who say, "Well, I don't ask God for forgiveness because I don't do anything wrong"? Here was Jonah, God's prophet. He was not just an ordinary member in the pew, in the sanctuary. Jonah was called to be God's mouthpiece. He was called to go and tell what God says. And he decided, "No, God, I'm not going to do it." And I'm grateful that the God we serve came to Jonah a second time. I want to stop for a moment right now and ask you to breathe a silent prayer for somebody you know, somebody you love, who needs a second chance. Maybe that person is incarcerated someplace, in some prison. It doesn't have to be in the United States. It can be to anywhere where we have people listening, and you just want to stop and say, "God, be with my son. Be with my daughter. Be with my brother. Be with my sister. Be with my mother. Be with my father. Be with my uncle. Be with my aunt. Be with my nephew. Be with my niece. Be with my cousin." God, you know that person who needs a second chance. Let your word come to that person a second time. And here is the message: go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I have given you. And here is that word in verse 3. It says, "Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh." Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Well, I looked up in some commentaries, and some are making a connection to Jonah being in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights and having to walk 3 days to get to where he needs to be. And that was after the big fish spat him out on the beach. He was 3 days away from where he needed to be. I don't know of any connection numerically as to what it means, but it seems to me that Jonah had 3 days in the belly of the whale to talk with God, to acknowledge who God is, and now he has 3 days to get to Nineveh, and he's having conversation with God. Sometimes God gives us the opportunity to talk with him. And whether it be 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Let's just appreciate that God gives us the opportunity. You see, in this road to revival, it involved a man. It involved a man in the generic sense as I'm speaking today. It could have involved a person. In other words, this road to Nineveh involved a sinner. It involved somebody who thought that he knew better than God, and so he was not going to do what God said. It seems to me that the road to revival involves a person. That could be me, that could be you. It doesn't involve someone else that you might be thinking about. You want to make this personal. Jonah made it personal. He's walking to Nineveh. He's walking to the great city. And the revival begins with Jonah. It's a great revival, as we shall see, but it begins with Jonah. Question: what is the revival God wants you to begin? Is it in your family? Is it among your friends? It first begins with your obedience to God. What is it God has been saying to you that you've not been acknowledging? The road to revival does not only involve a man, it involves a message. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4. It involves a message. And look and read with me what the message says. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. It's a message with just 8 words. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Let's just pause for a moment. It seems to me that if the road to revival begins with a man, the man needs to make sure that he has a message. In Jonah's case, the message was from God in words. May I make an application that sometimes the message that we give on the road to revival may not necessarily involve words. Maybe it's a message by the way I interact with you. Maybe it's the patience I show in times of stress. Maybe the message is God is love even when things are not working out for you. What is the message you are carrying on this road to revival? Hold a minute. Stop right there. Here is something the devil does to us, all of us. If you come wrapped in clay, he does it to you also. And the message the devil has is be so focused on yourself, and you say, poor me, that you forget the road to revival that involves a man, a person. It involves the message of God. So sometimes in our pain and self-pity, we turn the spotlight on ourselves, and the message we carry is that God really can't answer prayers. Maybe the message we carry is be so sorry for yourself that God is distant and he can't supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. In other words, when Jonah was on the road to revival, while he's saying, hey, 40 more days, it's coming, and Nineveh will be overthrown, some may see that as a pessimistic or a negative message, but it was a positive message because it gave the people of Nineveh an opportunity to hear what God was all about. So this road to revival not only involves a person, a man, it involves a message question. What is the message you are carrying in terms of the way you comport yourself? Jonah is walking and he's carrying the message. Something has to give when you're going to a place where people are doing what they want. It was like in the time of the judges, where the Bible says every man did that which was right in his own eyes. This was Nineveh. And I want you to read carefully the next few verses, starting with chapter 5. It begins by saying the Ninevites believe God. Hold it right there. Who am I to say how a person will respond to the word of God? The Ninevites believe God. Isaiah 55 says that God's word does not return unto him void. In other words, when God gives me a message, I must not be so focused on the people who are to receive the message that I do not become, well, God, I'm not going. The Bible says the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Sackcloth. What is sackcloth? Well, it's a coarse fiber woven from goat's hair or camel's hair, predominantly from goat's hair. And it really was a sack in which grain was stored. It was not something that should be worn. It wasn't comfortable. And if I can go back to my childhood in Guyana, we used to have 100-pound flour bags or bags of flour that you cook with. You bake with flour. And these bags would be white, and they would have the stamp of the company. Say if it were General Mills, it would be stamped in red, General Mills. It's a sack that held flour. Well, in poverty, sometimes people became creative. And in their creativity, they could not afford to buy garments in the store so they can be sewn for clothing. And so they will go to the store that will discard these flour sacks, and they will take them home, wash them, and bleach them until the stamp came off. And so what you had was a white piece of cloth, and from that they will make clothing. Well, as a boy, you didn't want to walk around with a pair of trousers made from flour sacks. Your friends would never let you live it down. It was embarrassing. It showed your poverty. It wasn't something to be worn. Well, there is a lesson here. When they heard the preaching of Jonah, the Bible says, from the greatest to the least, they put on sackcloth. In Israel, it was a way of showing penitence. You had to be humble to wear sackcloth. As a matter of fact, you would find references in the Bible to sackcloth and ashes. So when there was a death in the family and people were mourning, they would use sackcloth to demonstrate that they were suffering and they were humble. They were being penitent. And so you remember the story of Esther. When word came to the kingdom, to the Jews, Artaxerxes said, "Don't anybody come in my presence with sackcloth. I don't want to see it." Word went out that there were going to be some destruction. And Mordecai got his people together and they put on the sackcloth and ashes. They wanted to say, "God, we are surrendering. We're not embarrassed. We're glad to let the world know that we are poor and destitute and we need to depend on God." This is what the Ninevites were saying. "God, we got the message. Let us put on this uncomfortable, coarse garment of goat's hair to demonstrate exactly." One commentator said that putting on sackcloth was an external demonstration of an internal condition. Let me say that again. The wearing of this garment was an external demonstration of an internal condition. Question: what is your internal condition? Are you saying before God, "I'm humble, I'm penitent, I'm surrendered"? Let's continue to read what the Word of God says. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, the Bible says he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes. You're home, but I want you to say it with me: royal robes. The king of Nineveh heard the message and he said, "You know what? I might be wearing some expensive kingly robes, but when it comes to salvation, I need to take off that which is man-made and become penitent and humble before God." The king of Nineveh took off his royal robes. My question today is, what robes do you need to take off? What is the robe that you're wearing? Is it the expensive automobile you drive to say to the world, "Hey, I have arrived. I'm all of that"? The king, the Bible says, rose up from his throne. He got off his throne, heard the word of God, took off his royal robes, and covered himself with what, everybody? Sackcloth. And sat down in the dust. Humility. Humility. Some of us can't even come to God, throwing ourselves at his feet, because we think we're all of that with a title. This man was the king. And he took off his robe, put on the sackcloth. In other words, he became just like them. Oh, I wish if we had leaders who would be like the people. You see, sometimes the leader leads and sometimes the leader follows. Hello. The people put on their sackcloth and the king followed the people. You may be little, you may not have a title, you may not have a position, but hello, if you humble yourself, who knows who may follow you? And then the king says in verse 7, read with me at home. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. "Do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. The king understood that destruction was coming, not because God was bad, but because they deserved it. Oh, we don't like to think we deserve it. We like to think someone else is responsible for what's happening to us. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. So here is the road to revival. It involved a man, it involved a message, and it involved a miracle. Oh, yes. It took a miracle to hang the stars in place. Oh, but when he saved my soul, it took a miracle of love and grace. It took a miracle. Who would believe a revival? We talk about Peter preaching and baptizing 3,000. We got 100,000 plus people who became converted because of the man who took God's message and was able to see God's miracle. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion, turn off his fierce anger so that we will not perish. The king is speaking. If the king can say, well, if you go out and do it, who knows? And my brothers and sisters, let me say this with some softness, but with clarity. We can never know how somebody may respond to the message of God. We can never know how a people, how a family may respond to the message of God. Jonah didn't think this was possible. And so he ran away. And even though he experienced rehab, Jonah still had a problem because a miracle was taking place before his eyes. And those of you who know the story would know that after the people repented, Jonah started to complain. God, you see now why I didn't want to go in the first place? Because I know you would have changed your mind. Isn't that what God is all about? Isn't that what God is all about when he went to Jonah a second time? It's interesting that sometimes we receive a second chance from God, but we don't think someone else deserves it. The king said, who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. The road to revival is a road that involved a man. This very road involved a message. And this road that we're walking to revival involve a miracle. People who were going down in the graves with God ready to destroy, you will recall that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. This was going to be the fate of Nineveh. But the city came to life. They understood, time's up, and they got something from God. Here is what we are told. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he, God, relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Do we have any parents in the house today? I'm a parent. I'm a grandparent. But we know how sometimes our children may cause us to issue some threats. And we know that sometimes we want to have this sternness about us, but when we see them changing and obeying, we have to relent and we withdraw the threat. We are earthly. That's who we are. We are just earthly. What do you think of God who is heavenly? He knows when to say, okay, I got their attention. He knows when to say, enough is enough. He knows that it's time to change. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had promised. Let me back up a bit as we look towards the conclusion of this message. I want you to think about it. Jonah preaches. He's God's man with God's message. He see a miracle by God's people. Yes, God's people. Sinners are God's people. Let us never forget that. And Jonah now sees God's mercy and he gets mad. He tells God, you're making me look bad. So here in Rehob was Jonah. And we believe that in Rehob, Jonah acknowledged God. He made an agreement with God and he was accepted by God. The Bible says the fish, God heard his prayer from the belly of the fish and it put him out on the beach. And here was Jonah saying, I'm changed. I've been rehabilitated. Really? Is it possible that when we think we have been rehabilitated, that God's work is not finished with us yet? We were praising Jonah in chapter 2. And now we're in chapter 3. And then the last chapter, chapter 4. You can read that in your spare time. Here is Jonah having a quarrel with God. And Jonah became an Elijah. He said, I wish I would die. God, kill me because you make me look bad. Wait a minute, Jonah. Should you not be happy that 120,000 people are alive and well? Instead, you telling God, you look bad. You make me look bad. Question, when does God ever make us look bad? When we look bad is when we're doing our own thing. God can never make us look bad. So my friends today, as we consider this prophet, here he was running, being disobedient. It led him to prison. If you are in prison, take the opportunity to rehab. Talk to God even from where you are in the depths of sin. He can hear you as he heard Jonah. Change according to God's desire for your life. And then go now as God's man with God's message. See God's miracle and see the people embrace God's mercy. Don't get mad because people who were put on the auction block are now free. That's what the good news is all about. Jonah experienced rehab, but he wasn't entirely changed. Question, do we sometimes behave like Jonah, whereby we think God we're looking bad. You're making me look bad. And I don't want that to happen to me. Jonah, the book of Jonah, is referred to as a minor prophet. But there is nothing minor about this story. As I shared in the very first message, the major prophets are simply those who wrote volumes. Jonah just has four chapters, but it's a great story for us to appreciate just how disobedience can lead to prison. But if we find ourselves there, we can embrace change. We don't have to experience recidivism. We don't have to go back to prison. If God frees us, we don't have to go back in the belly of the fish. But when we're out, we need to embrace revival. We need to be God's man, God's woman, God's person, giving God's message, seeing God's miracle, and seeing people embrace God's mercy. I trust today that we will learn from this book how God perseveres not only his prophet, but the masses who are doing whatever they please. I want to ask this question today. Would you pledge with me that you are going to be God's man, God's woman, God's boy, God's daughter, giving God's message? And even if you don't see God's miracle, by faith, believe that his word does not return unto him void. And know that God's mercy is what saves us. May you encounter God afresh today and experience and embrace the road to revival. Father in heaven, we thank you for your forbearance. We thank you that you can give us second chances, even when we don't deserve it. How many times do we say, God, this is the last time I'm going to do this if you just help me now? That was Jonah's cry in the belly of the fish. And yet, when you let him out, even though he delivered your message, he got mad with you because you did not destroy the people of Nineveh. He said something that was interesting. Jonah said, God, I know the kind of God you are, that you're merciful and you will not follow through. That's the kind of God that keeps us all today. May God help us to be on the road to revival, giving his message, experiencing his miracle, and embracing his mercy. This we ask in Jesus' name. Let the saints all say, Amen.